Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for hanging in there for the news break, and looking forward to you staying with us for the balance of this broadcast today. Get on the telephone, call your friends, relatives, acquaintances, and neighbors. Invite them to tune in, and you can dial us at 831-0917, 831-0917. Let's have the dialogue and discussion on the subject today, legalizing immorality in America. That's exactly what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen. At one time, the focus, even by our legislators, was on the basis of what's best for morals, ethics, and values, and for the family and for the future of America. But we've left that position, and we've been in dialogue and discussion with Marshall Wood today. Marshall is a friend and a brother in Christ and loves the Lord, and we have the privilege of talking about these things independently and personally, and we wanted to share them together on the broadcast today. And one of the things we were talking about just a moment ago before the news break was the equality bill, House Bill 5, that's been passed in the House by 240 votes. Now is the Senate Bill 788 with 46 senators already on board. And if that bill ever becomes law, churches will be forbidden to print or publish or distribute anything that's in literature about anything that's against homosexuality and the LGBTQ. The fourth thing is the Equality Act would openly contradict the Word of God. God's Word says that God created male and female. He didn't create shems and its. He created male and female, Genesis 1:27 tells us. Number five, the Equality Bill will make churches illegal if they require employees to abide by a biblical faith belief in marriage and sexual purity. Number six, it will force religious employees to pay for gender transitional surgeries or other medical procedures that violate biblical principles. Number seven, it will prevent Christians from using the Religious Freedom Restoration Act as a defense against the LGBTQ agenda. Number eight, the bill forces Christian organizations to choose between their biblical faith and the violation of God's word. Hear me. If House Bill 5, which has been passed in the House, if it passes in the Senate, if we do not put Donald J. Trump back in office in 2020, that bill will be fast-tracked in the Senate and will become law in the United States of America. And if that takes place, ladies and gentlemen, then it will force churches to close their doors or bow and bend to the federal law that puts the LGBTQ, the sodomite agenda, over anything that would be called God's word and God's law. It creates a universal right to abortion on demand, overruling the state laws of some of them that have limited abortion laws. This bill, the Equality Act, gives Christians an ultimatum. Change your faith based on what the Word of God says, or face persecution and prosecution in America. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article. It says Speaker Pelosi's hearing problem. I'm not talking about her ears, it's having open hearings on subjects. Let me just read you a blurb or two from it. It's not every day that you see the GOP caucus conducting business in the House Visitor Center, but today wasn't just any day. It wasn't just a defining moment of the Republican Party, but the Democratic Party as well. For the first time in years, the House minority had held a pro-life hearing in open defiance of Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat of California. They've tried to schedule the event through regular order, but the answer was the same as the other 80 times they asked the Democrats to help them stop infanticide. No. Even when House liberals refused to give them a committee room, Majority Whip Steve Scalise, Republican of Louisiana, wasn't deterred. His party would have to hold the event in the basement if necessary for the Americans to finally know the truth about killing of newborn babies. One of the things you don't really appreciate until you hear it, and it goes on and on and on talking about those that gave testimony about the abortion. One dear lady that spoke in the testimonies of that event, even outside the approval of Nancy Pelosi. One of those that spoke that were giving testimony talked about she was to be aborted. She was not aborted. And how God had used her life to impact the lives of others. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Equality Act. And under that, it would be abortion on demand. It will have the sodomite agenda in presidents and taking precedence over any other moral, ethical rules and regulations of the church and of the family, of the home, and the future of America, morally and ethically speaking. Ladies and gentlemen, the Equality Act will be federal law. It will open all showers, all bathrooms, all locker rooms, all dressing rooms to any pervert and pedophile that wants to come in. That will be for all schools, for all public buildings, for churches. Listen, it will include churches and religious buildings if you have any program that you invite the public to come into. Listen very carefully. When you have worship services, aren't we inviting the public to come in? It would be all inclusive, as Tony Perkins put it, ladies and gentlemen. Tony Perkins says if this bill ever becomes law, it will close the church doors. It will be devastating for churches across America. In fact, one article says the Equality Act would be incompatible with God's word, and top Christians warned. These Christians are top Christians, Christian speakers, it's talking about warning us that if it ever becomes law, it will be detrimental to the church and to Christians and for the morals and ethics and values of families. Marshall, I believe we have a call on the line. Go ahead with your question and comment, please.
Chief, I have just one hit-and-run comment here, and then I'm going to go. I'm on the road today. Nonetheless, this we're talking about is not legalizing sin. It's giving special class status to folks engaged in all manner of perversion. It's saying that those individuals are more important than freedom of speech, or their sexual proclivities are more important than freedom of speech, more important than freedom of association, more important than freedom of religion, more important than right on down the list. It is giving special class status and then undermining what we have in the Bill of Rights. These folks right now can commit their perversion just about anywhere they'd like to in the United States without recourse of law. What they want is special class status, protection of law, and then they'd like to take good citizens, decent people, non-perverts, and they'd like to send them the bill. You know, these things, there's a price for sin. There's always been a price for sin. Well, they'd like to do whatever they want to do and then send the bill for that price. They'd like to send that bill to believers and say, I want you to pay for my AIDS medication. I want you to pay for my sex change. I want you to pay for my hormone therapy. I want you to pay for X, Y, and Z. They want special class status to make subordinate every believer in the United States.
Greg, you're exactly right. In fact, it was Jerry Nadler that said that the LGBTQ rights trumps the Christian rights. That is, the LGBTQ agenda takes precedence over any moral, ethical, biblical rights that we have in the Scripture and found in our Bill of Rights. You're exactly right. And what we're finding today is too many Christian pastors, so-called, are silent in the pulpits, and therefore we're being steamrolled over from the standpoint of what we're seeing taking place on a national level. Marshall, how do you respond to that?
I'd like to build a mental picture for everybody. Jerusalem is the holy city, isn't it?
Yes.
And there was a wall built around Jerusalem, right? Wasn't there? So there's a reason. That was to keep the bad folks out, all right? We have a protective barrier. Because we live in the satanic domain, we're of God. Jerusalem, the whole world lies under the sway of the evil one. There is a spiritual barrier around God's people that is sustained by prayer, by faithful obedience to God's word, by loving concern that Christians are supposed to show. That keeps our spiritual wall around Jerusalem. But there's continuously an enemy trying to get in. When we allow our spiritual wall to break down, evil comes in to destroy us. Now, that's a simplistic approach, but let me give you an example of people in history that have been circling like sharks around a person who's been thrown overboard.
Yeah.
The current American libertarian climate, anything goes, actually the godless anti-god society, goes back to a Roman philosopher named Lucretius. He only wrote one little thing that was of any significance, according to historians, but he influenced people 200 years ago, like a fellow named Baruch Spinoza, and a little farther after him, a fellow who said something that's very true, those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it, George Santayana. George Santayana got people in Columbia and Harvard and all the institutions in America, liberal institutions, all excited. Names like Robert Frost, Oscar Wilde, Alice B. Toklas of Beatles fame, Gertrude Stein. All these libertarian people have been continuously pushing ideas that our spiritual wall in America was strong enough to resist in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s. But when my generation came along and we began to disregard the sanctity of God's word, the importance of God's word, of knowing Christ and Him crucified and communicating that to our children, when that wall began to break, then people like Alice B. Toklas and Gertrude Stein and Robert Frost and all these libertarian people who influenced the culture came in and began to seduce the saints, hence the title of the book I mentioned before. We must keep a spiritual wall built, because when we don't, if that begins to come down, all this mess that's been out there since the 8th chapter of Genesis and some of the other wicked things that have happened comes seeping in. And then when the breach of the wall gets wide enough, it comes in like a flood. And guess what? Let's go back to George Santayana. Those who failed to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. He simply said what Ecclesiastes chapter 1, 9 through 11 says, that according to the Woody paraphrase, is simply this. Hey, it's been before in history. It's going to happen again. The problem with man's mind is he just can't remember it. Those who failed to learn from history. Yet George Santayana, speaking accurately from the book of Ecclesiastes, so he probably didn't know it since he was an atheist, is one of those who is actually contributing to the present-day destruction of this country through the philosophies that he and his libertarian friends like Gertrude Stein, Alice B. Toklas, pushed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Greg, are you still with us? Well, he's no longer with us. Marshall, you're exactly right. One of the things that I find that you just mentioned that I touched on in my mind, you said about the wall around Jerusalem, mm-hmm. and I recall the study through and having privilege preaching through the book of Nehemiah so many times. I believe it's about the 11th chapter. I know it's on the left page, the right column in my Bible, where when the wall was completed, they reviewed, and I'm paraphrasing, they reviewed the passports of all of those on the outside mm-hmm. to determine if they had the proper visas to get into the wall before they could come into the wall. They had to be for the right thing and had to be of the right thing for them to be in that seclusion.
Good analogy.
Protection in the wall. And yet we're concerned about walls in America, today, especially on the southern border. I find it antithetical to what we find the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the legalizing or the legislation of immorality in America. And yet we've heard the mantra so often, Marshall, that you cannot legalize morality, but they're legalizing immorality. And one of the problems that I find with that is to find that, I say problem, it's one of the declensions in our society today, and you've touched on it so aptly, that it's because we have failed to study the Word of God, know the Word of God, inculcating the Word of God in our hearts and lives, and passing that on to our younger generations that they would also follow in our footsteps. Ladies and gentlemen, you can join in this dialogue and discussion by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. Get your telephone call right through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have the discussion together. Perhaps you've got a question. Perhaps you're wondering about what are these laws doing and where are we going in society in America? We're going to wrap up in a moment on this broadcast talking about the declension and where this declension is taking us in America. And may I say in advance, it's causing us to look more and more like Rome and the implosion mm-hmm. in Rome than in any other history of any other nation on the face of the globe. We're talking about now, in particular, the House Bill 5, passed by 240 votes in the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party, but led by Nancy Pelosi, with 46 senators already on board now that Senate Bill 788. This bill is a veiled plan, Marshall. I've looked at it, I've studied it, I've analyzed it from just about every perspective you can. It's a veiled plan to ban churches and Christians and religious liberties in America. It's a veiled plan. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Any law bill that is passed and it becomes law, there must be what's called enabling legislation drawn up for it to be enacted. And that is done by the bureaucrats behind the scenes that write up then the rules, the regulations, the guidelines for enforcing that new law. And don't you dare think that if this passes somehow, some way, churches would be exempt, because it is very clearly stated in the bill itself that it will not allow the Religious Liberties Restoration Act, Religious Liberties Freedom Act across the nation, will not allow that law to be used by Christians to avoid being put under the pressure and the prosecution of the House Bill 5, the Equality Act. I believe we have a call on the phone. Give me the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for the truth. And I agree with Marshall. The truth is the reason I sat under your tutelage also at First Conservative Baptist. And you asked the question about the church. Where is the church? Well, Dr. Youngblood, between the prosperity gospel, which has now run its course, and Calvinism, the church has really lost any credibility. They've always, for so long, it's been Jesus gonna give you something free. So nobody respects it really, especially the millennials, because they can see through it. That's why the church is not standing up. It can't. It's for itself. And really, it saddens me greatly. It saddens me greatly. But I'm just so glad there's a few like yourself that have credibility and truth. And I hope that others see that and continue to listen and support the broadcast.
Well, I'm thankful for that comment. I'm humbled by the comment, and I appreciate it more than you know. One of the things that we find it is so often that Christians are willing to cower in the face of pressure and problems. I'm so thankful when I think about that, of looking at Daniel in the third chapter of Daniel, verses 1 through 30, a fantastic book. Three young Jewish men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to bow to the image that was set up. And as a result of that, they were called in, chided, and challenged, and threatened again. They refused to bend, and as a result of that, they were thrown in the fiery furnace. And as a result of refusing to bow or to bend at the culture and the mandate of a immoral society, they refused to burn. As you recall the story in the book of Daniel, the third chapter, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown in the fiery furnace, and they came out with not a singe on their bodies, didn't even smell like fire, because God protected them. I believe that every Christian needs to understand that God is going to protect us when we stand for truth, when we stand for the Word of God, when we stand for what God's Word mandates we do. Thank you so much for your call. Looking forward to what God is going to say and do in the hearts and the lives of others today. Marshall, we're talking about the Equality Act in particular and its legislation of immorality for America. I'm looking at an article here that says the Equality Act could impose left-wing LGBTQ curriculum on the entire nation. This article says in just one little blurb, the Equality Act, if passed and signed into law, would add gender identity, sexual orientation to the list of classes of race, color, creed, religion, sex, and national origin protected in the Civil Rights Act. A variety of Supreme Court cases, including the Meyer versus Nebraska and Pierce versus Society and Sisters, affirmed the rights of parents to control their children's education. But the Equality Act would be a concrete precedent to federal courts to require curriculum celebrating lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual orientation. And ladies and gentlemen, I can go throughout this article. It is frightening to read. But what the article is literally saying, and it is exposing the truth of the Equality Act passed by Nancy Pelosi and the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party, and that would destroy the parent's right to train that child according to the Scripture. Scripture says, train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he will not have departed from it, in Proverbs 22:6. It's the parent's responsibility, according to the Shema and Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9, to teach them the Word of God morning, noon, and night, to tell the Scripture, give the Scripture to them when they wake up, when they're going during the day, and at the close of the day. This bill, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the legislation and the legalization of immorality in America. This bill will silence Christians and close churches across America as never was thought in the history of our nation. This bill legalizes the educational process, the literature, the books from kindergarten through college curriculum, advocating the LGBTQ gender neutral gender identity goals for all of America. In short, this bill will destroy any vestige of morals, ethics, and values in the family and in the church in America, Marshall. I'm concerned about it, and I pray that our listeners will get concerned. Here's an article that says, Bible holidays are too sexual to allow, says Facebook. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the legalization and the legislation of immorality. And we're finding all of the major social media taking locking arms with the federal government and the socialist Marxist agenda to destroy anything that's called conservative voice or the Christian voice and the church's voice in America. This article says the Bible holidays are too sexual to allow, says Facebook. An ad created for Facebook by the Ariel Jewish Center to celebrate Rosh Hashanah, also known as the Biblical Feast of Trumpets and Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, wasn't too complicated. But it was way too much for Facebook, which responded with a censorship notice saying the ad can't be run. Quote, this ad isn't running because it's sexually provocative or overly suggestive, according to the technician that made the announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at the ad, and there's nothing that has any sexual connotation in the ad. But Facebook says this ad isn't running because it's sexually provocative or overly suggestive. That just gives you a brief idea of how the world, and especially in America today, views moral, ethical Christians or moral, ethical people and the biblical truth, where it's being banned by the federal government, being banned by Yahoo and Google and YouTube and Facebook, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, Marshall, the question is, where are we headed as a nation if we continue to go in the direction that we're going now?
So you have just asked the question that the Central Intelligence Agency asks all the time in protecting our nation and the other defense agencies. They take a series of social facts that they glean from monitoring other cultures. They line those facts up and they say, where is this culture headed? Do they represent a threat to America or are possibly allies? If they're a threat, then we'll reposition satellites to get a big macroscopic view of weaponry and what they're doing. They'll send in human intelligence people to find out inside what's happening. Christians need to do that. We need to take a lesson from the intelligence industry. And what you've just said is very important. We need to line up the facts and see where our—
We can't fight the enemy until we know the enemy.
You have to know the enemy.
Yes.
You must know his allies, his order of battle, his battle doctrine, his logistical centers. That's really well. Here's the point that I'm getting to. If you go back in human history and you go back into Bible history, you discover there's one particular vector that the world has been on continuously. And what is that vector? Global hegemony by the evil one, or one world leader who eventually is evil. That's where we've been heading from the beginning. Now, would you agree that except for Solomon's Israel, America is the greatest nation ever on the face of the earth? I also add that I believe that America represents the consummate Gentile kingdom at the close of a particular age. We are very significant. Does America stand in the way of global hegemony, of global control, of one world government?
Absolutely.
The answer emphatically is yes. So if you go back and you listen to that little line in the Beatles song, you can get anything you want at Alice B. Toklas restaurant. She was a group of people that a long time ago were looking to set up this one world government. It's where we're headed. And so what does America traditionally stand for? She stands for strong faith. There's no doubt that George Washington and all those others who historical revisionists are trying to tell us weren't Christian or didn't know the Word of God. Our forefathers knew the Word of God, and this nation is built upon brick one, which is faith in Jesus Christ, the Judeo-Christian ethic. Right. I know that you agree with that.
Absolutely.
The second thing is, America is great and strong because of strong families.
Absolutely.
One man, one woman joined together for a physical lifetime, reproducing physically and spiritually as often as God gives them the opportunity. True statement.
Yeah.
And the third one is what a man does, and I emphasize man because men need to be out there earning an income. It's what a man does to feed his family. What's that called? Free enterprise. Not socialism, not all this other stuff, but what a man voluntarily does to feed his family. Faith, family, and free enterprise, the backbone of this country, the three things that America best stands for. So the world, the Alice B. Toklases, the Gertrude Steins, the Robert Frost, all these others, now the Democrat Party, the evil Democrat Party, as a couple of folks call it, want to tear down and destroy America. How do you do that? You do it through the legislative process. You invade our lawmaking body called Congress, and specifically the House of Representatives, the Four Horsewomen of the Apocalypse as example, and all these other miscreants that are in there now. They changed the law to make it legal. In fact, they're doing it to appear moral. Remember that inversion of morality that we're doing? We convince this country that it's moral to do all these things that are against faith, family, and what
and
a man does to feed his family.
As they deem it.
Say again?
It's called social justice.
Of course. All these other things that sound to deluded people that they're doing a good thing. And the whole purpose is what? Establish one world order. I'm done saying. That's it.
Marshall, I'm looking at an article here. We've got about 2 minutes on the broadcast. It says the Democratic Party passes a resolution against Christianity.
Can you believe it?
Specifically against Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, if I didn't see this with my own eyes, if I didn't read it with my own eyes, I would think that somehow someone is pulling a trick. But it says the Democratic Party passes a resolution against Christianity. The Democratic Committee has taken its stand, and it's against Orthodox Christianity. It passed a resolution last Saturday calling for the party to be more inclusive toward non-believers. On its own, that's not remarkable. But the document also strongly denounces Christian beliefs and Christian actions in the world today. The key paragraph says this, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the most loudly claimed, they're claiming that morals, values, and patriotism must be defended by their particular religious views, have used those religious views with misplaced claims of religious liberty to justify public policy and has threatened the civil rights and the liberties of many Americans, including but not limited to the LGBTQ community, women, and ethnic and religious, non-religious minorities. End quote. The party's hostility toward Christian beliefs and values was very clear before, but putting it on paper this way, however, raises the message to another level. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching America and its decline because of morals, ethics, and values that's being legislated in immorality in America today. We need to look up, lift up our head, for our redemption draweth nigh. We need to pray, seek God's face, confess our sins, turn from our wicked ways so that God can heal our land. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining in the dialogue and discussion today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.